Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to GPS, GQ Pilot Sports After Further Review with the mayor every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. He's doing it hard body karate. It's butter, baby.
GQ Pilot
Radio.
GQ Pilot Radio.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on a pro. You want to join the conversation, gotta pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the mayor keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, or clay. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. When it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
Hey y'all, this is Half-Pipe from Son of Berserk, No Self-Control. Keep it tuned to the mayor after further review on GQ Palace Radio.
This is Johan. When I'm not practicing law or being a professor out at Hofstra University, I talk sports, I debate sports. There's some great sports talk and debate. Check out the mayor on After Further Review on Tuesday nights. Call in.
Hey, this is your girl T. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10, I'm chilling with the mayor on GQ Power Sports. He's doing a hard body karate. It's bada bay, bada bay, bada bay, bada bay, bada bay.
Radio,
y'all better do what it be like. It's your boy Mike Hands, a.k.a. Mr. Fix-It, 997 host, Carnegie Deli Slicer, Denver Courts General, and all that and them things. When I want to know the score, I'm checking out my main man, the mayor, when I have the further review on Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Then we really see who's winning.
Hey, 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 hey,
GQ Power, radio, GQ Power.
How you be? It's the mayor, man. Tune in to GQ Palace Sports, a.k.a. GQ Palace Radio, After Further Review, a.k.a. The Bigger Show. You got the mayor in the building, a.k.a. Kip Stasio. It's about a lot of things, man. You know, first of all, we want to salute all the women, you know what I mean? Because there's been a lot of really, I think, misconstrued information and misinformation, and people are talking, you know, with frazzled nerves right now. And I think that's kind of sort of where we're headed as a society in entirety, if you know what I'm saying. People say things to you, you'll ask them, well, what are you trying to say? Like, they have to temper their words to get you to receive the message, so that way you won't think it's anything negative. I think a big problem that's going on in today's society, man, is people hearing what they want to hear, and people are having to backtrack and cover their tail and not really speak their mind from the heart. They have to, you know, they have to revise their statements or go back on what they said because of fear of reprisal from, you know, an employer or the public in general. I feel like if you're going to be somebody who's going to be a representative or analyst or even someone who's going to be in the media as somebody who's analyzing and describing things to the general public as a whole, I think you should be able, or you should, first of all, have the integrity to stand behind what you say. Because you get on the mic, man, and you spit this ism, man, you know what I'm saying? You should be able to, 5 years, 10 years, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, when somebody asks you about that particular show, when you were spitting that ism, you should be able to speak with that same fire and be able to be right on point, like, yeah, this is what I was saying, and, yeah, that's what I meant to say and all that. I remember everything. So for Stephen A., like I told my man Star earlier today, shout out to Star, man, Star and Buck Wild Show and all that. You know, Stephen A. spoke on Friday, the statement that he made regarding, you know, women and domestic violence and things. I won't get into it because everybody knows the situation or whatever. It wasn't taken too kindly. Now, listening to it and hearing it are two different things. Now, in my opinion, I heard and I understood exactly where he was coming from, okay? And what I'm not understanding is, like, how did everybody turn what he said was supposed to be an innocuous statement, okay, regarding, you know, women, you know, sometimes they are the, I'm going to paraphrase here, the kind of, like, cause. And I'm not saying it cause, like, okay, I'm going to go out and somebody's going to hit me. No, that's not what I'm saying. How I broke it down, the Star was like, simple as this, man. You know, females are not supposed to be touched like that in any way, shape, or form, right? We get that, okay? How the situation kind of like goes back to what, you know, situation with Ray Rice or whatever, and we'll get into that later on. It's just kind of like a firestorm. It creates a firestorm. And I don't. And what I think Stephen A. meant was just like, yo, you go out there, you know what I mean, and you present yourself in a certain way. Let me say it like that. You go to the club, you present yourself in a certain way, okay, to attract the attention that you want. Don't get it twisted. Nobody's supposed to put their hands on you, period. Okay? But sometimes, and, you know, cats, you know, that run in, you know, certain type of circles see this. Sometimes it gets to a situation where you're pushed to a limit and your back is up against the wall. And I'm not condoning none of that, you know what I mean, because that don't rock with me and it don't rock with me because I got sisters and I got aunts and cousins and all that, and you're not hitting none of them, straight like that. So you got to kind of, like, think, man, the type of society that we're in today, man, it's kind of like everybody's real hypersensitive, man. You know what I mean? Their hair is standing up on their arms, man, waiting for something, anything that they can grab a hold of that brings negativity to a situation where we should be working on solutions instead of, you said this and you said that, you said the third. So my thing is I want to kind of like bring an understanding to it because the other side is not being heard, okay? Lately, there's been a whole lot of stuff going on where people have to backtrack and, you know, oh, I didn't really mean to say that, or, nah, stand your ground. So how you always tell me, you know, out of one side of your neck, you talk about you keeping it real, and then 5 minutes later, you kowtowing. Kowtowing for you young jacks out there is a word that's just kind of like you dancing for dollars. You shuffling, you know what I mean? You perpetrating a stunt, all right? You fronting, you know what I mean? So, like, the situation, bring it back to the beginning, why we here at this point right now, man, July 29th, man, 2014, listen to After Further Review, a.k.a. The Bigger Show on GQ Palace Radio, a.k.a. GQ Palace Sports. I think that Ray Rice, with his suspension that he received earlier this week, or last week, what have you, 2 games, so he's out for the first 2 games of the season. I think that, you know, considering the circumstances, I think that was about what he deserved. Now, if he would have got 3 games, I wouldn't have been mad at that. Even if he would have got 4 games, I'd have been like, all right, he got 4 games, okay? Plus the fine, you know what I mean? So, again, man, I think that was enough because I think the humiliation and the the public shame that that's been heaped on him. And I know Ray, you know what I'm saying, personally, you know what I mean? So he's not that dude. But this is something that's going to take some time. You know, it's never going to be smoothed over. Don't get it twisted. You know what I mean? But now you got to work your way to get back into the public's, you know, graces. I'm not even going to say good graces, because some of those people waiting for you to commit some kind of, you know, egregious situation, then they could pounce on you. Ray is not that type of dude, man. You know what I mean? And you know, we got caught up in a situation, and I would say like this. All you saw on the tape was him dragging his wife out the elevator. She was dead weight. You know what I mean? And, you know, he could have did a better carry, a fireman's carry would have sufficed in that situation. That's, you know, my thing. But before that situation right there, what do you know that happened? Nothing. All you doing is speculating and getting on your soapbox. And there's nothing wrong with you getting on your soapbox, as it happens every so often. Okay? But to really, you know, run this dude through the mud like that and people coming down, I don't think that's deserving. You know, and out of all the people that say that, you know, he should have got more than 2 games, they're not coming up with a number. Well, how many games should he have gotten? How much money did you want to take from him? Okay? It's not like Ray Rice is a bad seed. You know what I mean? First-time offender, you know what I mean? I mean, you pick the wildest stuff for your first-time offense. We get that. But why are you going to act like, you know, now you're going to cower in fear when you see Ray Rice? Come on, yo. That's the thing that's bugging me out. One day it's this, the next day it's that. Be consistent with yourself. Okay? So domestic violence is a very, very, very important situation, man. Very, very important, man. But all I'm saying is that, and what I believe Stephen A. was trying to say is we both contribute to the cause. Because I've seen videos recently on Facebook or whatever, is that females was giving it to these dudes, and they just trying to kind of like squelch the situation, like be easy. Okay, so sometimes you step in it, and if you don't think so, then that must not be you, and that's cool, that's fine. But if you're gonna blame and put all the responsibility on the man, some should be on the woman too. That's all I'm saying, and I'm not really trying to get into no debate about it. You know what I mean? I don't have no problem with nothing that goes on, but sometimes in certain situations and circumstances cause you to pick a side. And that's all, man. So we rocking out, man. I'm not trying to dwell on that, man, because I deal with on-the-field topics, but I really had to get that off, man. And, you know, as far as with Stephen A. is concerned, man, I think that, you know, he really kind of saw it. He was working for his job, so he had to apologize. But I'm just kind of like on the fence with that, you know. What was you just, you know, you was on there Friday, you was just saying some stuff that you're not going to stand behind. So now how can I take you and take you as credible for anything you tell me going forward, regardless of any whatever it is? You know what I'm saying? So I just think that, you know, and breaking news, Stephen A. got suspended for a week from ESPN for those statements. You know what I mean? So what does that mean in the grand scheme of things? You know, so it's like you're going to apologize for what you said or we're going to sit you down. He apologized for what he said and still got sat down. So where is the we're not looking for a win. We're just looking for substance right here. You're supposed to be a dude that you always pontificating on TV, yelling and screaming, using all these big words like you think people don't understand. You know what I mean? And so now you're looking real, real, real soft right now, man. Real Gordon Lightfoot style right now. And I'm just going to keep it 100. Straight like that, man. And I feel like if you're going to speak your mind. The same thing with Tony Dungy. When he said the situation about Michael Sam, that was last week. Okay, he had to backpedal and explain what he meant to people. He had to define what he meant. And that's what kills me. You say something to somebody, what you trying to say? What you mean what I'm trying to say? I'm not trying to say nothing. You hearing what I'm telling you, right? So that's what I'm trying to say. Hold that. So, again, we're dealing with two different situations right here. You got to be corporate when it's time to be corporate. So would you watch what you say when that camera is on? You're listening to After Further Review, man. a.k.a. The Bigger Show. You got the mayor in the building, man. 646-200-3838 is the math, man. It's a lot to get into tonight. I just want to speak my mind for a few minutes, man. Shout out to the big homie, man, Rich Money behind the boards holding me down. Miss Lavina in the building. You know what it is. How you doing and all that. Shout out to Rocksteady Crew, man. I was at the Rocksteady anniversary, man, in Central Park, man. No violence, no nothing. Bunch of everybody was out there, man. Shout out to Dos Effects, man. Onyx, man. Keith Murray, you know what I mean? Young Jack Driller was in the building. It was just a real crazy scene. It was real, real hectic, real, real nice. My man Thurston Howell III, you know what I mean? He rocked out. So it was a good show, man. MOP, they smashed it. Smashed it to death. You know what I mean? Onyx, did they think things? Sunny Seas was in the building. That was a good look. You know what I mean? Shout out to my man Mike Hands, you know. Shout out to my man Armageddon. I ain't see him in a minute, man. Terror Squad and all that. So we go back, way back. Shout out to Armageddon. But yeah, man, Central Park was definitely popping Sunday, man. Shout out to Rocksteady Crew, Crazy Legs and all that for holding it down. So now we here, man. A lot of stuff going on. We talked about the Ray Rice, Stephen A. If you want to get into that, man, I got you. 646-200-3838 is the math. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. This is the first weekend, man, about to jump off. So I know this is kids' time of the year. Football season about to pop off. We got the Hall of Fame game coming up August the 4th. You know, that's our next Monday for all you people that don't have calendars. The Bills and the Giants, the Buffalo Bills and the New York Giants, if you remember the Super Bowl, that was the one that Whitney Houston sang at halftime. Giants won when the Buffalo Bills missed the field goal at the end of the game. Giants 20, Buffalo 19. They play on the Hall of Fame game coming up on Monday night, and we're going to get into that. That's actually going to be our first pick of the season, so we're going to do that at the end of the show. Shout out to my sister, man. Her birthday today. Tiffany, man, I love you, man. You know what I mean? It goes down. My man, Dash D, our masses. It's their birthday today. My man, Slate's birthday was yesterday. You know what it is. Slate, salute. Yeah, man, we all over the place with it, man. So holler at your boy when you get a chance, man. 646-200-3838 is the math. Press 1 to get down with the conversation. Shout out to my man, Star and Buck Wild, my man, DJ Alias, all that. One more thing, man, on this Ray Rice situation, man. You know, all we know is what he did, right? And what he did was what? Drag his wife out the elevator, right? But we assume that he hit her. We don't know that. Where's the tape for that? Where's the tape? You know what I mean? It's not a good look how he, you know, ended up with her dragging out the elevator. That's not a good look. I'm just saying. But what do people want? What do they expect? You know what I mean? I could see if he was, you know, somebody that was constantly in and out of Commissioner Badell's office, because I'm still waiting for him to give the suspension to Jim Irsay, who's the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, who got caught with drugs and $29,000 on him. We got pulled over driving under the influence. And he's the owner of the Indianapolis Colts. So I'm not really, really concerned about, you know, what Ray did was serious. He has to deal with it. You know what I mean? I think that, you know, the disdain of the public, how they kind of like turning on him right now, is worse. I think that's worse. He's got a lot of, you know, making up to do and a lot of, you know, just talking and smoothing out the situation. He's got a lot of that to do. Okay? And that's understandable. But how many games did you really want? How many games would have satisfied you? You know, so I mean, again, you know, it works both ways, man. I'm not against, you know, the topic. Like they're trying to say, oh well, if you don't agree with what they say and you're against women, that's not it at all. So if you're hearing that, then you need some Q-tips in your life. But to kind of like have to go back on what you feel and how you think and what you say. Sometimes you say dumb stuff. Okay, you got to check yourself. But when you talk about situations like that, Stephen A. is eloquent enough, you know what I mean, and he speaks his mind very clearly, so he lets you know what it is under no uncertain terms, okay? So you know, he had to do what he had to do to survive and keep his job and all that. But I, you know, already have lost respect for that dude. You know what I mean? Because he does a lot of switching up and flipping when it comes to picking games. But this right here, I had to kind of really just kind of like fall back, you know what I mean, and really just look at it and say, okay, well, you're doing this to stay afloat, and I ain't mad at you, but I ain't got to mess with you. Now I see what it really is. And that's and it's cool because Ron Parker did it when he got let go by ESPN. Jason Whitlock did it when he got let go by ESPN. Even Tony Kornheiser, he went through his little situation. So, again, we understand and we realize that you got to wear a suit and tie and you got to appease the corporate powers that be. But, you know, isn't that taking away a little bit of who you are if you can't speak your mind? That's why I'm glad, man, you know, thankful for GQ Palace Radio, man, Big Rich in the building, man. I'm not going to curse you out. I'm not going to make no threats towards you or nothing like that. I'm going to speak my mind. I'm going to be very opinionated. That's how I always am, man. Anybody who knows me, on or offline, I'm going to tell you what it is. And we can have an intelligent discourse about it, or we can have an unintelligent discourse about it. That's how it goes down. So, again, man, I said what I had to say, and that's really that. I'm not going to backtrack. Big Rich gonna call me, you know, yo, man, yo, check this out, man. You kind of went, you know, out of bounds on that. Oh, now you, and what's that mean? Oh, you gotta kind of like say something. Nah, but I'm not gonna ever say anything that's going, you know, shed a bad light on GQ Palace or none of that. Know that. I might go out of bounds sometimes, but never in a disrespectful fashion towards anybody. You know what I mean? That's what I gotta say about that. Call in, talk about that, or I'd rather talk about on-the-field situations because that's where I'm better at. Let's get into it, man. Baseball, man, trade deadline coming up, man, on Thursday. Ain't nothing really happening, man. Nothing really too hot, man. David Price, is he going to stay with Tampa Bay? Tampa Bay going to let him go? I think Tampa Bay is going to, you know, it's going to be dictated on where they are as far as the pennant race is concerned. Right now, they're still, you know, they're in keep David Price mode. Okay, they started off the season kind of really bad. You know, they were thinking about getting rid of David Price. And now that, you know, they're in the race because the American League East Division, that's what the Yankees and the Blue Jays and the Red Sox is kind of weak right now. So, you know, whatever, you know, Toronto does, as long as they tread water and they keep, you know, keep pace with what's going on, they don't have to make any major move with David Price. But they are asking for a lot in return for him. You know, they're 7 games out of first place right now, 52-54 record. You know, they're not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, they got to make a move because it's getting ready to be August the 1st real soon, and that's when we start burying people. But, again, we're going to bury 3 teams tonight. And what I mean by bury them, it means that they're not going to make the playoffs, and they're basically done for the season. So, I think we're going to get around to it. Let me speak a little something about the National League first before I get into the burials. We're going to have 3 burials tonight. The Dodgers, I think they're starting to wake up. They're going to be the Dodgers that we were expecting to see last year and we were expecting to see earlier this season. Last year, they were talking about fire Don Mattingly. This year, they were talking about fire Don Mattingly because the Dodgers had got off to a slow start, had a couple of injuries and things of that nature, but they're coming back. They're 59-47. They won 3 in a row. You know, they got the best pitcher in the game, allegedly, Clayton Kershaw. They're a very dynamic team to watch. They have their own drama that they're going through. They got 4 outfielders for 3 spots. So, they got something. They might get rid of somebody by the trading deadline. So, you know, Don Mattingly's done a great job. I wish he could, you know, have got around to being the Yankees manager, but that's just me talking. The Milwaukee Brewers still in first place, hanging on now, game and a half in front of St. Louis. Here come the St. Louis Cardinals. I told y'all earlier, man, about the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. They're like the Indiana Pacers. You know what I'm saying? They got off to a lovely start. Like somebody always does at this time in baseball. Then when July and August roll around, they get back to reality. They get snapped to reality. So, again, man, I'm not really feeling Milwaukee. I never really felt them at all during the season. And the Cardinals are coming. The Pirates are coming, too. The Pirates are two games back. So that National League Central is going to be crazy. National League East, it's basically a two-team race. Washington Nationals and Atlanta Braves. The Nationals lead the Braves by a half a game. Depending on, again, what moves are made after the trading deadline. So next Tuesday, our show is going to really be popping. We're going to, you know, all the teams have made their trades, and we'll get into some pennant stretch baseball. And basically, if they added a wild card, more cities are going to be able to be involved in the pennant race. So it's going to be exciting going down in the, you know, down the stretch. We got a lot of things going on. We're not going to forget baseball, man. It's definitely baseball season, man. Still, you know what I mean, even though training camps in the NFL open up, we're going to get into that tonight. We're going to talk about the NFC South. We did the NFC East and the NFC North last week with our special guest, Jovan Hay, former NFL lineman. That was a great show. You should check it out on the archives and all that, on the podcast. My man Dev over at War Room Sports got me on the hookup side with the podcast. Appreciate you, my G. You know what I mean? The bell is back, you know what I mean? After his little vacation, hiatus, kidnapping, whatever you want to call it, the bell's back in the building. Kia, what's good? Welcome to the Bigger Show. What's happening?
Hey, how are you?
Good, I'm good. Where you want to go with it tonight? Because we got a lot of bases to cover. Whatever you want to jump into.
It's nothing big with me. I'm just happy about campus open. You know,
okay.
All right.
There's no doubt.
Camp open.
Counting down the days to September 28th. I know that.
The Lakers got their coach.
Yeah, so yeah, okay, all right. I mean, I don't like doing that because it's not basketball season, but I give you the floor because, you know, the Lakers do have a coach. That is news,
I know you were waiting for that because you always said,
and they're their coach. Okay, so where are you at? And you know, give me a couple lines about where you are as far as the Lakers right now.
I'm appreciating the coach because, Byron Scott. Kobe. I don't know where I'm at. I'm hoping we can put some pieces together to try. You know, Boog, I heard his press conference and what he's trying to add to the team. And, you know, it's a lot of talk. I got to see this in reality.
So
it's been a rough season.
Why do you think that Byron Scott was named the Lakers coach and they gave him the deal that they gave him? Or do they see, are they trying to, you know, create some stability? And do you see him, you know, bringing the Lakers, you know, not this season, maybe not next season, but do you see him being the coach of the Lakers when things do turn around for them?
I'm hoping so. I do. You know, when he first came before, and he talked yesterday, he talked today, his main focus was defense. I'm sorry, that's it right there. His main focus was defense. This is what he's going to concentrate on, the defense side of the Lakers, get the defense side of the Lakers rolling. So I was happy with that. Being, I think we were second to the bottom. The Sixers had the worst record than us on defense. We were next to the bottom, so you might as well say we were at the bottom pit. We were the bottom pit. It's just the Sixers had a worse record than us on defense.
All right, so I'm not really going to get into what your expectations are for next season because
it's still off season.
But I did want you to speak your mind about the Lakers situation. They got a coach, so now you can exhale. Okay.
Yeah, I exhaled yesterday, so I'm good.
No doubt, that's what it is. So we're going to talk a little football, but I wanted to get into the situation with the Yankees, right? Trade deadline is on Thursday. I think 4 o'clock is the trade deadline on Thursday. We picked up Chase Headley to play third base for us. I think that was a good move. I called that. You know what I mean? What else do we need now? Do you see the Yankees by any chance pulling off a situation where they could get David Price?
You know what? We both know how Cashman is. You know how you go to bed not thinking you're going to do this or whatever. You wake up the next morning, David Price is a Yankee. You're like, wow, what?
Right.
What?
Right.
That's exactly how you think, you know, you wait for the least unexpected.
Right,
but we've
right,
seen
right.
it as being Yankees fan. We've seen when you're like, wait a minute, he's a what? A Yankee? You know, who would have thought? We've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, he was Chase Headley was the only one that made sense as far as like
right.
third base, because I said that before the season started. I was like, you know what, you know, we're not that situation right there is not what we're going to end up with. I think Chase Headley, because the contract with the Padres wasn't trying to pay him, you know what I mean? So they wanted to get something and
right.
not let him walk away. So
right.
We kind of like took care of that situation, you know what I mean? So now we got to go back to the pitchers. Now we need another arm.
Right.
I don't think we have, you know, Tanaka's been down for, what, 2 weeks now?
Right.
Okay, Tanaka's been down for 2 weeks, so we don't have another month to play around and wait for him to come back. We have to do something now. You know, and the Yankee fans that, you know, that we are, we always kind of like drum up trades and figure out who we can get. I saw the post that you made about Troy Tulowitzki. I do a little baseball thing called History Maker Baseball, and I have my team, our New York Yankees, and I have Troy Tulowitzki at shortstop. Only reason I have him at shortstop is because they didn't give me a Derek Jeter card, because Derek Jeter was hurt last year. So I had to fill in, I had to get a shortstop, so I got Troy Tulowitzki. And, yeah, he admires Derek Jeter. That's why he wears number two, because of Derek Jeter. You know what I mean? I think that Troy Tulowitzki would be a nice fit, but Troy Tulowitzki can't pitch. You know what I'm saying? We need to get a pitcher, and I got kind of like in the back of my mind David Price, but I don't want to settle for nothing. I don't want to get nobody I can't trust. I got to get somebody here that I know is going to handle their business. You know what I'm saying? That's all. I'm not looking. They had scouts at the game the other night watching A.J. Burnett. Really?
Well, hey.
Hey, come on, man. A.J.
Yeah.
Burnett? I mean, he had a nice season for the Pirates, but he should have stayed in Pittsburgh. He should have stayed in Pittsburgh, yo. So, so we're right there in the thick of things right there in the American League East. I think that...
Yeah, I think we're in a good position. I think we're in a good position.
Yeah, we're in very good position. We're in very good position right now. Third place, 4.5 games back, but, you know, we're losing to the teams we need to beat, Kia.
Mm-hmm.
We played
mm-hmm.
Toronto, and Toronto, you know, beat us last night, and you know what I mean? We got to win those games because they're in front of us.
I know you. I'm okay.
Yeah, you
yeah,
know
totally
what I mean?
Right.
And you know, I mean, my only saving grace right now, Kia, I'm going to keep it 100 with you. My saving grace right now is that they added an extra team in the wild card. So knowing that, you know, we really got a chance outside because we're 2 games back in the wild card right now. We're tied with Seattle. 2 games back in the wild card. So we got 3 teams. Well, actually 1 team to pass for the wild card. Actually 2 teams to pass for the wild card. Would I be happy getting in as a wild card? No. Because I don't think it's going to be 2 teams coming out the East. I think it's going to be 1 team. And the other teams are going to come out the Central and the West. Like your Oaklands, your Los Angeles Angels, you know what I'm saying? Your Detroit Tigers, your Royals. So I think the Yankees are going to have to win the division to get in. That's why I was, you know, preface my statement saying the Yankees got to get something nice by this trade deadline. I'm hoping that Cashman got something up his sleeve. I hope so.
It's like I said, you go to bed. Lead up to all the expectations. Just like I remember when we all hyped about Tanaka, we're not sure, you know, whatever, you know, what the Yankees going to do, blah, blah, blah. And the next thing you know, you see the headline in the corner world, Tanaka the Yankees.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, when it comes to those type of guys and those type of players, the Yankees usually, you know, make noise and get what they want. I mean, the last time that somebody that I wanted for the Yankees that we didn't get was Yu Darvish. He went to Texas. I thought if we would have got Yu Darvish, because Yu Darvish is the truth. I like Yu Darvish. He's like one of my favorite pitchers in the game, man. He does his numbers, man. You know, and I think that if the Yankees had got him, we'd have been all right. But we got Tanaka, so I'm not complaining. But Tanaka's cannot pitching right now, so we need something. And it's up to us, man, to make it happen. You're listening to After Further Review, man. GQ Palace Radio, a.k.a. GQ Palace Sports. 646-200-3838 is the mathematics. We're going to get into that, man. Guess we're going to get into some football. I mean, you know, it's your time of the year. I know you ready for it. You said you opened up your call tonight by saying that camp is open. Pittsburgh Steelers fan that you are, talk about them. Camp has been open for like a week or 2 weeks now. What are you seeing?
You know what they talk about, I'm not going. I got so much stuff to do before the vacation, but my brother is going up tomorrow because his kids are in this sports camp up in Pittsburgh, so he's going up tomorrow. But I was looking at Le'Veon Bell. He lost some weight. He's less than what Dry Archer is, and they're both looking good in camp. I mean, the people that's up there this past weekend talking about how well he was running and stuff like that. He got a lot of speed. So I'm all set. I'm all ready for our offense. Ben already said he's focused. He better be. I'm telling you right now, he better be focused. This little kid.
He you're right. He better be focused because you know why?
He better be focused.
He wants to get paid.
Yeah.
He wants to get paid, so he better be focused.
Yeah, they're not doing his contract after the season. They already made that announcement. I'm thinking about the rumors. They're not shady, so I'm not worried about that. So we just, you know, I'm just hoping he got a great offense around him now. Let's make this happen.
I heard that. Good.
Let's
stuff.
Make this happen. Defense, I never worry about our defense because I don't know how much our defense got younger. I mean, now I see the moves we made, whatever. Our defense got younger now. And one thing I do like, and I do trust anything that Dick LeBeau puts together, whatever, you can't fault anything he does and whatever he wants. And he went in that draft, and, you know, I know I wasn't happy with the linebacker, but now I see why he picked the linebacker.
And you see why they have the jobs that they have. I mean,
right.
You know, they finished 13th overall in total defense last year. You know what I mean? Last time they didn't finish with the top 10 was, you know, 1999.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, again, you know, you hit it. The defense got younger because age and injuries did play a role. You know what I mean? Your boy Larry Foote was hurt. Brett Keisel missed part of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, the dudes on your team, like, you're going to need bigger contributions from dudes like Cortez Allen, you know what I mean, and Steve McClendon on the line.
He had a semi-pretty good season last season.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why he was brought back.
Yeah,
he
I mean, you know, so I mean, not speaking as a Steeler fan or nothing like that, I got to keep up on the competition. I'm going to be scouting you clowns. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you something. Ain't no clowns over in Pittsburgh. Ain't no clowns over in Pittsburgh. Refer to clowns at those other teams. There's no clowns over in Pittsburgh.
Talk to me on September 28th.
You know what? Isn't nobody worried about no September 28th?
Tell you, I'm firing shots. I'm going to be firing shots
be
all preseason.
I'm firing shots. I got a
you know what? You know what, though? You can talk. We're going to talk about the NFC South later on in the show. So you can get to talk all the junk you want about my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I want to hear. And we're gonna talk about the NFC South. So get all your little notes ready and get prepared, because we're gonna kick it about the NFC South. Again, man, 646-200-3838 is the math. First official weekend of the NFL season. Shout out to the Hall of Fame class, 2014, and all of that. Buffalo Bills and the New York Giants on Monday. Hall of Fame game. We're going to pick that game. We're starting off early this year. We're going to see what your skills look like in the preseason. So, you know how we do.
That's Monday. That's the fourth, right?
I finished my thought.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you said Monday. I'm sorry.
You know how we do. We pick three games every week. So, we're going to start off early with the preseason game. So, have your game up. All right. Go ahead, Kia. What was you going to say?
No, I was saying this Monday. I was trying to understand when you said Monday. I was trying to think, is it this Monday?
August the 4th.
Okay, August the 4th. Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to get into that, man. Let me get some baseball scores out because that's what I do. Bottom of the second inning, Yankees 1, Texas Rangers nothing. Top of the 6th, Cincinnati 2, Arizona nothing. Bottom of the 6th, Milwaukee 1, Tampa Bay nothing. Top of the 6th, Phillies 2, Mets nothing. Bottom of the 5th in Cleveland, Seattle 5, Cleveland nothing. Top of the 5th, Toronto 3, Boston Red Sox 1. Bottom of the 4th in Baltimore, the Orioles 6, the Angels 4. Top of the 5th in Detroit, White Sox and the Tigers tied at 2. Top of the 5th, no score in Miami between the Marlins and the Nationals. Top of the 2nd, no score in Kansas City with the Twins and the Royals. Bottom of the 2nd, out in Houston, it's the Astros 1 and the Oakland A's nothing. Bottom of the 1st in Chicago, Wrigley Field. Rockies 3, Cubs 1. Later on starts, we got Atlanta Braves and the Los Angeles Dodgers, St. Louis Cardinals and San Diego Padres, Pittsburgh Pirates and the San Francisco Giants. That's what it is on the baseball tip. So, yo, we live and direct, man. 646-200-3838 is the math. We're going to get into some NFC South conversation. We talked about the NFC East and the NFC North last week. NFC South, Atlanta Falcons, Carolina Panthers, New Orleans Saints, and my beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kia, I'm going to let you set it off. We're going to get into it. And the Atlanta Falcons, how do they look to you? I mean, you're going to see a lot of them on the HBO. I think that Atlanta's going to do their thing. But I want to know, besides being on Hard Knocks, what do you think the Falcons are going to do this season? Don't give no prediction because it's too early for that.
I'm not giving no prediction because, you know, last year he didn't have his receivers. I was disappointed in the Falcons season last year.
So was the people in Atlanta. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Go ahead.
And I always think, they came here to play the Giants in that playoff game. You know, they all hyped and, you know, whatever.
24-2.
And they only put up 2 points. And they only put up 2 points. I was like, what the hell is that? What the hell is that? 2 points. That whole game went to the playoff game around these Giants fans. And I couldn't believe Atlanta got beat like that. And they couldn't do nothing. So I was a little. And then the year, you know, when they lost, they barely lost that other playoff game. Okay, fine. It's like, when are they going to get over that hump?
Yeah.
When?
I mean, look how they played on that Monday night against Denver. Look how they played in that Monday night against Denver.
Okay, they did beat that Seahawks team the year before. They did beat that Seahawks team, but then they lost the week. Then they lost. They're like, okay, well, what's going on? What are they supposed to be?
They supposed to be one of the top teams in the NFC right now.
They lost.
I mean, Matt Ryan. You know, I want you to, you know, get, you know, I'm gonna get into it because I think that the
Matt
Atlanta
Ryan,
Falcons. One of the biggest underachievers.
Yeah.
They're one of the teams that should have been. You know what I mean? And
right.
I'm not really going to get into the injuries and stuff like that, man. Because, again, we're taking it back to a couple years ago. That, you know, the situation that you brought up when they lost to the Giants in the playoff game. That was when they had a good team. So I really don't excuse them. But what do you think about the Atlanta Falcons being called soft? You think they're soft?
I don't think they're soft. I don't think they're soft. I think they haven't figured out how bad they want. You know how teams go to the playoffs. You know how when you go to the playoffs, you want it. I don't think they have figured out whether they want it. I wouldn't consider them soft. I just don't think they figured out how to win when they need to win.
Okay. I mean, you know, Matt Ryan's still, I mean, he's still young. He got growing up to do. You know what I mean? He completed 67% of his passes last year. So, you know, he's ready. He's ready, but it's
but
just
is he,
that,
but
you know,
do you consider him a leader?
The offensive line. The offensive line was garbage.
Do you consider him a leader?
Matt Ryan?
Yes.
Not the leader that he's supposed to be. The leader that they need him to be.
Okay.
And that's where the soft situation comes in. I don't think Matt Ryan, you know, I'm not gonna say they don't respect him as the quarterback. I just think that they wish he was more vocal as a leader and more demonstrative as a leader. You know what I mean? He makes the big plays. He's got the respect. He's shown that, you know, he could be effective when he steps up in the pocket and does his numbers, man. You know, but, you know, they got to fix the offensive line for him. That was the same thing they were talking about with Michael Vick with the Eagles. The offensive line was garbage. I mean, you got guys on their offensive line, man, that, you know, they couldn't win the line of scrimmage in the running game. You know, they was last in the league, 77 yards per game. What is that? You got Steven Jackson back there. You know what I mean? So, I mean, even though Sam Baker and Mike Johnson, was hurt, you know, they got to step their game up on the offensive line and protect Matt Ryan because that's where their bread and butter is at. You know,
And Tony Gonzalez is gone. So, I mean,
Gonzalez is gone. They selected Jake Matthews, their first pick in the draft, to get on the offensive line. They got John Asamoah from Kansas City in free agency. So, I mean, they're going to do something to improve the offensive
line. They got some big bodies up there.
And defensively, Atlanta is just kind of like, you know, mediocre, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
You know, they switch between the 4-3, then they go back to the 3-4. You know what I'm saying? This year, I think they're going to rock a 3-4 defense.
I think they get confused. I think I was hearing, like, a lot of coaches, they was talking about this on, I think it was an ESPN article or whatever. I think a lot of teams get confused about, you know, when they want to switch to a 3-4. And they were talking about the toughness of playing a 3-4 and having the right personnel to play a 3-4. You could think you have the guys to play a 3-4, but a lot of guys can't play that 3-4. So when you switch, you get confused. And I look at how, I think the Chargers went to a 3-4, and I believe the Saints did because they got, when they got Rob Ryan. Cowboys went from a 3-4 to a 4-3. So it's interesting how teams that you think they want to play in a 3-4, but they don't have the personnel to play in a 3-4.
Yeah. you're listening to After Further Review, man. We in the building. Atlanta, man. They're gonna go to their 3-4 defense this year, man, and stuff up the middle with Tyson Jackson.
Who's the nose tackle for that team? I'm trying to think of the nose tackle. I'll get that.
Well, Paul Saleh is the nose tackle for Atlanta.
Okay.
They gotta do better, you know. Last year they were 27th in yards allowed, 29th in yards rushing, 21st in yards passing. They gotta really step up their defensive line. They're not putting no heat on nobody. You know what I mean? So, they got OCU Mignora now. So hopefully,
I know it's a big. Ooh,
you know what I mean? They got OC.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? From the Giants. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they kept Jonathan Babineau. But I'm talking about their linebackers and their secondary. They still suspect too. So they really ain't really got nobody to, you know, make no noise. So I really don't see a lot out of Atlanta this season. You know what I mean? I think that, you know, they're not going to go 4-12. They went 4-12 last year. You know, 8-8 will be respectable. Their schedule is really, really not that hard. You know what I mean? Their first four games, New Orleans at Cincinnati, Tampa Bay at Minnesota. You know what I mean? So, you know, by the time they get to that Giants game in week 5, we'll kind of see where they are. They don't have a bye until week 9. So we'll see where they are by their bye. So the Atlanta Falcons, we talked about them. So next up on the docket here, we're going to take it down and talk to the Carolina Panthers right quick. Cam Newton just coming off his ankle surgery. Last year they won the division. They let Steve Smith go. You know what I'm saying? So what do you see them trying to accomplish as far as the division and trying to see who's going to step up and replace Steve Smith?
That's what I was just thinking. I was thinking, will that come back and get them? I'm not sure. You know, we're going to tell them.
We'll see, because they play at Baltimore week 4.
When the season starts. It's going to be interesting how that offense, because Cam had a pretty good season last year. They won the division. They played some good games on the road. They played some good games at home. That defense was, fourth overall, so it was a big, from Revere, it was a big jump for them. How well can they maintain and keep it?
The defense was second. But you're right. You're right. You know what I'm saying? And they drafted Kelvin Benjamin in the draft, you know, for Florida State. So hopefully he can, you know, step in and right away. And he's going to basically have to. You know what I mean? He's going to definitely have to step in right away. I think the Carolina Panthers and their receivers.
You think he can't step in right away?
Huh?
You think he can step in right away?
He should be able to step in right away. I don't see why not.
Okay.
He got drafted in the first round. You know what I'm saying? 6'5", 241. You know, he's supposed to be able to be that dude to make some clutch catches. He did his thing down at Florida State.
Okay.
You know, he's got a, you know, he's going to be a, you know, a nice red zone target for Cam. And he might, you know, he's supposed to be the number one receiver. So he's going to step up and do his numbers. So he should be able to, you know, work with Cam, and they'll make some things happen. Their receiving core, they got Jericho Cotchery, Tyquan Underwood. They got Jason Avant. They used to play with the Eagles. You know what I mean? So, again, their receiving core is nothing to write home about, you know. But that's why it's going to be important for Kelvin Benjamin to really step up and really make, you know, help Cam out. You know what I mean? I really don't see Cam getting a lot of burn during the preseason, you know what I mean, just to be careful on his ankle and things of that nature. You know, like Kia said, he had a great season last year, you know. Career highs in completion percentage, 61%. He threw 24 touchdowns, and his quarterback rating was 88.8. So, you know, he's definitely, I think, going to be running the ball, taking chances a lot less, you know what I mean, and relying on the running game. You know, D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, they're going to do their numbers. And, you know, Mike Tolbert, they signed him, the fullback that does the blocking, you know, to an extension, 5 years, $36.5 million. So he does his work. So as far as the offense is concerned with Carolina, I think that, you know, they're going to have to, again, get Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin on the same page. And once that happens, I think if, you know, the defense plays up to its, you know, capability like they did last year, they were ranked second in the NFL, Carolina might make some noise. But, again, Kia, so what is your opinion on that? And talk about their defense a little bit, even though that Captain Merlin and Drayton Florence are not there anymore. So what do you think that, how do you think that's going to affect their, the defense in Carolina?
It's going to affect it because, for some reason, you know, when the season started, and I remember preseason, it was all that hype about the Rams, which the Rams do have they got the key opponents with the defense. But for some reason, that defense of the Rams slipped, and you saw Carolina's defense started growing, like moving up, like doing stuff. Like, wow, Carolina's defense looks good. And when you actually see them and watching games, you're like, well, Carolina got a great defense. And it compliments Cam because, you know, I just don't know about the two. I don't know about this season because when you lose guys and you need some replacement, those replacements better be able to step in those shoes.
Yeah, because I think go ahead. Finish your thought.
They were up there for. They were. I mean, they were more impressive than my defense. I mean, they were better than my defense. So to the extreme.
I mean, you know. Last season, you know, Carolina again finished second in total defense in the NFL. You know what I mean? They were second against the rush, sixth against the pass, second in points allowed. They only gave up like 15 points a game. They had 20 interceptions, which was fifth in the league. They were first in sacks. They had 60 sacks. Turnover differential was 11. You know what I mean? Plus 11. You know what I mean? So the defense definitely did its numbers. Greg Hardy, you know what I mean, he's dealing with his off-the-field situation, so that kind of, like, messes them up. You know, the linebackers, they got Luke Kuechly, you know what I mean? He was Defensive Player of the Year in 2000.
So,
you know, they have defense. But my concern with Carolina is the secondary because, again, Captain Merlin and Drayton Florence are gone. Mike Mitchell and Quentin McHale, those were the safeties, they're gone. You know what I mean? They got Roman Harper from the Saints. Well, I think it's garbage, Roman Harper. And Thomas Dekul, they got him from Atlanta. You know what I mean? They both been to the Pro Bowl. But what does that say about their secondary, though? Did they really improve their secondary?
No, they didn't improve that. You
know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's going to be a work in progress as far as that secondary is concerned, which is going to, you know, make the pressure on the defensive line that much more because now they're going to have to really, really get to the quarterback because you got these guys back here that you really don't know is going to do their numbers, you know what I mean? But, again, you know, they're going to have to – I think that's going to be Achilles' heel for Carolina as far as their defense is concerned. The defensive line, worried about, again, Greg Hardy and his situation. Is he going to be back? You know, I just think that, you know, missing the pressure that he's going to put on the quarterback, man, and leave it up to Charles Johnson and guys like Star Latui and Kawan Short, you know what I mean, it's going to be, you know, kind of a bad move as far as he's concerned. But he'll get over it, man. He had 15 sacks last year, so they're going to be missing that. from the door.
Oh, they definitely gonna miss that. This is
gonna, you know what I mean?
I'm just gonna see how well they do. How well
yeah,
they fully
on them though. That's Carolina Panthers. So we're gonna take it down one more again. We're gonna go down to the Bayou. We're gonna talk about now these New Orleans Saints right now.
Wow.
Super Bowl or bust. Is that a correct statement could be made about the New Orleans Saints?
No.
Speak your mind.
You know what? I like the Saints. I like Drew Brees. And I think it's poof. That was a disappointing playoff for him. Disappointed. And I think I'm disappointed the last couple of games. I would say the last three games in the season. But you can tell a big difference when Sean Payton got back. You can tell a whole big difference from the year before he was suspended to when he came back. But then they got added Rob Ryan, and the defense totally looked different. But I was definitely disappointed in Drew Brees in that playoff. You know, I just think that he could have been, he's a better quarterback than what he was in that playoff. And I'm like, who's that? You know, I did not like that playoff game for him. But I think they're gonna come out. I think they're gonna win that division this year. I think the Saints are.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, I shouldn't say that, but I'm hold that back. Well, I'm just thinking.
You can say what you want to say. You can speak your mind. It's all good.
I think the Saints are going to be better than what they were last year. I think.
Think so?
I think they are. I think they're going to be better than what they were last year.
You think they're going to be better than they were last year, even though they don't have Darren Sproles?
I don't think they'll miss Sproles. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they'll miss him.
I think that, you know, New Orleans Saints, you got to respect their gangster. You got to. You know what I mean? They started from the bottom, now they're here. You know what I mean? So every year they're the team that, you know, contend with. You know what I mean? I guess they got past the Bounty Gate situation because Sean Payton is back. They got the guy back there, Drew Brees. I always liked his game. Drew Brees is nice. You know what I mean? So you can't take nothing away from him. Their number one draft pick, the kid, Brandon Cooks out of Oregon State, he's definitely going to be able to stretch the field for Drew Brees. The situation with Jimmy Graham got taken care of. I guess he got classified as a tight end, which is the position he plays, so I don't understand what the big deal was about. Tight ends always been putting up numbers. Ask Kellen Winslow. Ask Billy Joe Dupree. Ask Mike Barber. You know what I mean? So I'm not really feeling, you know, oh, I want to be known as a wide receiver because they make more money. All of that is cool as far as you getting your money, get your paper. I'm not mad at that. But you're a tight end, dog. Straight like that. You're a tight end. So there's nothing else to be said about that. So, and it was nicer tight ends that was in the league before you. You know what I mean? So, again, do what you got to do, man, and get your numbers and do what you got to do, man, to help the Saints win. You know, going back to their running game, you know, Pierre Thomas, you know, I mean, you know, he led the team in rushing last year with 549 yards, but you need more than that. You know what I'm saying? You're going to definitely need more than that, you know what I mean, to put the threat in the mind that you could be multidimensional. You just don't want Drew Brees dropping back the pass 40, 50 times a game. You know what I mean? That's why I think that the loss of Darren Sproles is going to kind of, like, hurt them, but they got Mark Ingram, you know what I mean, the kid from Alabama. You know, so it's his time to shine now. You know what I mean? So I got that. I give him that. They picked up Eric Warwick, fullback from Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, it seems like they try to snatch up a lot of my old Buccaneer dudes. They got Jyre Evans on the offensive line, you know. But, yeah, the Saints are always going to do their numbers. But let's talk about the Saints' defense. You know, they picked up Jarris Byrd from Buffalo. They go back there in the secondary. They got Champ Bailey back there in the secondary. Wow.
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, their defensive line, Cam Jordan, 12.5 sacks, was fifth in the league. He went to the Pro Bowl. Akeem Hicks, you know what I mean? He might be that dude to break out this year, you know what I mean? And, you know, in the linebacker core, they got Curtis Lofton doing his numbers. You know, their secondary. But their secondary, I mean, it's the last couple of years, I think it's left something to be desired. Because I think, like, they had Roman Harper back there, and I always thought Roman Harper was a bum. I never liked his game. I never liked Roman Harper's game. Taking it back to when they played the Bears in the playoffs, and we won't even go there. But I never liked Roman Harper's game. So they got rid of him. And I think Jarris Byrd is an instant upgrade in the secondary. He's a ball hawk. You know what I mean? He signed a 6-year deal, so he's going to be in the building. The secondary is already strong. You know, he had 22 interceptions since coming in the league in 2009, and that's second most in the league. So, and his pops, Gilbert, is the cornerback coach for Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So he knows his secondary, and he knows how to play that position, and I think that he's definitely going to be an upgrade. And as far as, you know, the division goes, I'm going to wait to make my picks. We're going to have our football, our NFL preview show coming up real soon. I think the Saints are going to do their numbers, you know. Darren Sproles, I think, is going to be – they're going to – like Kia said, I don't think they're going to miss him that much.
I don't think they are.
I mean, because Mark Ingram could definitely step in, but I think that, you know, they're going to, you know, miss his presence. I'll just say that. I'll just say they're going to miss his presence, and hopefully Mark Ingram can step up and be that missing link. But now it's time in the show. We talked about the three teams in the NFC South, which are competition for my favorite team, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're going to get into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now. And Kia, even though I know camp just opened up and all that, you don't have to pull no punches. Don't hold nothing back, because I already know what it is. September 28th, we're going into Heinz Field, and we're going to make some things happen. Okay, so you could give your little assessment right now of the Buccaneers, and then I'm going to get into my thing about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The floor is yours.
You know, I really don't, I mean, I haven't seen the Tampa Bay whole, you know, everything yet, but I'm going to take a look at it if I go on vacation, because, well, I give them, because only because of Lovey, which I already know he's going to he already talked about reforming that defense. That's the first thing he said when he, you know, talked about the defense, the areas that need to be addressed. And he talked about his offense. He talked about his quarterback situation. He talked about, and I think he put the right guys on his staff or whatever he has around him to get this stuff done. But I just got to wait to see what's on paper and what the Bucs are going to do this season. But for one thing I know, they're not coming up to Pittsburgh on the 28th. Lovey get much respect, but no way they're coming up to Pittsburgh to win a game in Pittsburgh. Because Pittsburgh's on a mission, and if you're in Pittsburgh way, they're going to roll right over the Bucs, I got to take a look at the Bucs. You're right, I got to take a look at the Bucs before we even get ready to play them.
Look at what now?
Look at defense. Defense,
I'm
going to look at that secondary. How I
got
to take a look at
defense. I'm about to tell you the scoop right now. Can I get a round of applause?
Please.
Look at that. They sleep at the wheel. Can I get a round of applause, please? Look at that. They sleep at the wheel.
I
love my people back there, though. Gotta love them. I just want to get into my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man. You know how I feel about the Bucs. That's my team, and I usually, you know, give my assessment of them. And in the last couple of years, I've been, you know, excited about the possibilities, but I've been mad at the coach. Greg Schiano wasn't going to work. I knew that was an experiment that just went kaput, and it didn't work, and it wasn't going to work. The college rah-rah thing wasn't happening. Okay, we had Raheem Morris. They lost respect for him, and he had to go. Okay. So we went back to the future. We scooped up Lovie Smith. You know what I mean? He's the guy. He won 10 games to the Chicago Bears, and they fired him. But the thing about Lovie, though, is he was in the building with Tampa Bay when we got our Super Bowl ring in 2002. Right? So now we're going to be one of the teams that are going to be respected all the way around. Our defense is respected. Our running game, we got Doug Martin back from injury. You know, we got to, you know, really, really improve a little bit as far as defense is concerned, but we have the horses to make it happen. The only question is with Tampa Bay is that the quarterback position. I didn't want Tampa Bay to end up with Mike Gannon at quarterback, Mike Glennon, excuse me. And we got Josh McCown now. So Josh McCown is going to be the starter. Josh McCown did his numbers last year at the end of the season with Chicago, which is fine, well, and good. But that's not doing me no good for this year with Tampa Bay. So What we got on the bench now is Mike Glennon, the cat from North Carolina State that we drafted 2 years back. Don't really trust him. I wanted us to draft Johnny Manziel. That's right. That was my pick. I would thought we was going to take either Johnny Manziel. If we didn't get Manziel, we was going to draft Mike Evans. And we ended up getting Mike Evans, so that's what it is. But I think that my team, you know, we were 32nd in the league, total offense, so that means we were garbage. And I say that about my team. There's no, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, my God, my team is great, even though we were 32nd, which is last in the league in total offense. Okay? We were 17th in the league in total defense. So we weren't horrible, but we weren't great. We started out last year, if you recall, with a number of losses. We had 8 losses last year in our first 8 games. We lost the first game to the Jets, 18-17, when my man LeVon David hit Mark Sanchez out of bounds. The Jets got to keep the ball, put him in field goal position, they hit a field goal, and they won the game. The second game of the season last year, we lost at home 16-14 to New Orleans. Had a bad penalty, put them in field goal position. They kicked the field goal. We came back to kick a field goal and missed it at the end of the game and lost to New Orleans. Then we lost to New England. Then we lost to Arizona. Then we lost to the Eagles. Then we lost to the Falcons. Then we lost to Carolina. Then we lost to Seattle. Team, hold on, I got you. My team is going to do its numbers this season. I'm expecting Doug Martin to come back from injury. I'm expecting Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans to have good seasons, to be nice targets for whoever's back there throwing the ball, be it Josh McCown, be it Mike Glennon. The draft, Mike Evans, 6'5", 231 pounds. So now we have a pair of big, tall wideouts. You know what I mean? They can create and they can win mismatches. So I'm expecting a lot of alley-oops. You know what I mean? Put the ball up there. Make Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans go up against those corners. You know what I mean? But, yeah, that was the bell in the building. I got my man Slate on the line. What's good, Slate? Welcome to the biggest show. Happy belated, my dude.
Thank you, my brother. How are you? Everything is everything.
Everything is everything, my dude.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's going to be overload now. Yeah, man, happy birthday, man. We just getting into, you know, the little NFC South situation right now, man. Talk about my Tampa Bay Bucks. And I'm glad you called because, you know, I was giving the key of the business.
He ain't giving me no business.
We go back like rocket chairs. December 28th, man. I'm going to put on the war paint, my dude.
I don't know why.
Slate, so we was giving a little rundown in the NFC South, man. So I got you on the line. I want you to give you a little assessment of the Steelers right now, first couple of weeks of the season. You know what I mean? I like to let everybody get their shine on about their team. What are you seeing? What are you liking so far? And what's the deal with Ben, man? They got to give Ben his money or what?
Yeah, Ben, I ain't even worried about that. Ben is going to get his money, man. You know what I'm saying? But when, you know, I could see him being a little upset or whatever, even though I don't think he is, because he just said, I think he was joking, though, but he was just like, yo, if I don't play for the Steelers, I'll retire. I don't want to play for nobody else. He said that. So I'm not really worried. I know we're going to take care of him because he's been die hard. Been to 3-1-2. Like, you know what I'm saying? Do what you need to do for the man, especially when you got Romo and Flacco and these guys making $20 million a year. Even little 11 or 12, that's already a cut, a pay cut. So they got to take care of that, man. Do what they need to do and hurry up in doing it. But they said at the end of the year, they'll revisit it then. And he's okay with that for now. So on that note, that is what it is.
That's what it is.
I like our draft. I like to it.
You did your thing in the draft, man. Brian Stead here from Ohio State.
He's
going to do his thing, and I think on the low, and you can tell me better because you're a Steelers dude, and Kia, you're Steelers all day. What do you think that says about the Steelers in their situation with the kid Jarvis Jones that they drafted last year from Georgia?
It says he better step his game up. But, you know, with Steelers, like, he's a good linebacker. He'll be all right. He just got to, you know, like he even said it. Yo, I'm ready to turn out this year. I got my feet wet last year. Because, you know, Dick LeBeau got crazy different schemes and everything, cause especially for the linebackers, because that's our bread and butter, our linebackers. But we got younger on the defensive side. I'm amped, man. I can't wait for football season. Everybody keeps LeBron this, LeBron that. They even talking about this man's jersey now. Are you kidding me?
But I mean, we're not on that. But, yeah, your defense, man, 34 sacks last year and just 20 turnovers, that's not really, you know, typical of a Pittsburgh Steelers defense, though, man. But, again, you got younger.
Not at all.
You know what I mean?
Not at all. But
got the kid
Shazier.
He's got, you know, he's got speed. He's got speed for linebackers. So he's going to be running some of them dudes too.
In the league.
Yeah.
Like out of the 16 games, we had like 11 different offensive line changes. That's a lot. That was the most in the league.
Yeah, man. So enough about that, man. I'll talk to y'all as the preseason goes on,
hey,
man.
Hey, Slay.
September 28th.
You saw LeBron September 28th,
Paul Beth off, man. Tampa Bay's going to go down there and do it.
Oh,
yo, Slay, so
please.
Real quick, man, I'm doing the NFC South tonight. I started off with Atlanta. I don't know if you've got any thoughts about any of the teams in the NFC South. You know what I mean? If you want to give an opinion or if you saw anything yet that you want to talk about as far as, like, New Orleans is concerned, or maybe Carolina or Atlanta?
Not really.
All right, that's what it
Hold
is.
Hold up, it's New Orleans, Carolina, Atlanta, and what's that other bum team?
Man. I'm getting ready to tell you what the other team is. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, yeah, back to the Buccaneers, though, man. We got my man Slate in the building holding me down, man. 646-200-3838 is the math. You're listening to After Further Review on GQ Power Sports, a.k.a. GQ Powers Radio. My Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, man. Defensively, man, we always going to be all right. You know what I mean? You know, we just had to get some people to play up to their potential, man, because 17th in the league in total defense is not going to get it. We acquired Michael Johnson from Cincinnati. So, you know, we could give something else that a better speed rush look on defense. We're going back to the Tampa 2. So that's something that, you know, we play and worked well with. And I think that Lovie's going to, you know, make the defense the core of how we play Tampa Bay Buccaneer football. You know, we got rid of that dude, Darrell Revis or whatever, because we wasn't giving him $16 million again. I'm sorry. Go ahead, take your talents elsewhere. We'll get some clam chowder or something. But we replaced them. We good. We got Alshon Vernon, the kid from Tennessee. He don't have the real speed or the real nice size that you would like, but he's a technician, yo, and he makes plays on the ball. So I think that he's going to really cause a lot of receivers out there to be separated from the ball. And on the other side, we got Deshaun Golson. If he could just learn how to, you know, not hit people in the head or try to take their knees out, you know what I mean, he'll be doing his thing because he, you know, he had like almost $500,000 in penalty fines last year. And we don't need that. So, again, man, we're going to have to step our game up. I'm not worried about really our linebacker core. You know what I mean? Mason Foster, Levante David, you know what I mean? Should have went to the Pro Bowl, you know? Our draft picks, again, Mike Evans. But the kid that I want to watch, though, is the tight end that we drafted from Washington in the second round. Austin Seferian Jenkins is his name. He's got size. He's got hands. I think that he will be that go-to guy when we might need that third and five, that third and seven, you know what I mean? And he'll come through for whoever's quarterbacking. And I'm always going to say that because I'm not really confident in our quarterback game right now. You know what I mean? I just think that whoever starts is going to have to really show up. We have a team that's capable to win, you know, some games and get off to good starts. We just got to, you know, forget about last year and keep it moving. That's how I see it as far as my Tampa Bay Buccaneers are concerned. But, yeah, man, it's going to be a long season. It's going to be a good season. Anything you wanted to touch base on? Oh, yeah, Slate, I got to get your opinion, man. We're going to go back to the Lakers right quick. I know you got Byron Scott named as your Lakers coach. You got a few words on that? I know you got an opinion on it.
No, I'm glad. I'm just scared for him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because Lakers organization is in disarray right now, but I'm going to ride out with them regardless. And it's a perfect fit for me. Like, I like them. I just hope that they don't throw them under the bus if we get off to a mediocre start or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think they'll do that to Bobby Scott.
They won't do that to Scott, Clay. Not
to Scott. You know what? I don't think they'll do that to Bobby Scott.
Yeah.
And plus the fact that they gave him 4 and 17, you know what I mean? So they plan on being there for a minute, and they're not blind to the fact that they're not going to be good for, you know, next year, maybe the year after, or whatever. They got it's a work
in
progress.
With the brothers got to go the extra mile. Like this ain't that we told
that,
you. Know, he got the connection for the, you know, the complexion for the connection. The brothers got to be extra good. You know what I mean? Why did it take so long in the first place? Then if it's such a perfect fit and so forth. Why would they bull messing around in a place? Like, I don't know. I like Byron Scott. Ever since Showtime Lakers, I like Byron Scott. So,
Byron's been to the finals. Didn't he take the Nets to the finals 2 years in a row?
Either way, I'm riding out.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, he's, you know, done his numbers. He's been there, done that. I just think that, you know, he was the, you know, the correct choice. You know what I mean? I think that, you know, he's... there, and he's not like the older type that's going to be like, oh, try to play a certain type of basketball, have a different philosophy. He comes from that same tree. So him and Kobe are going to be able to relate from the door. That's what you want, Kobe to relate to whoever he's going to be the coach. He's definitely going to respect Byron Scott. You know what I mean? So I just think that was a nice look for the Lakers, and we'll see what happens with him.
Definitely.
You know? So what else is going on, man? I know your man Stephen A. Smith. He got put on the sideline for a week or whatever in regards to his comments he made regarding the situation with Ray Rice, the running back from the Baltimore Ravens. What's your opinion on how that whole situation is playing out?
I always thought Stephen A. was the village idiot anyway. Him and Skip Bayless. Like, it's like now because his hairline's pushed back and he's the one brother on a big time sports talk, you know, station. He speaks for all black people all the time. Like, they got that one token Negro that's supposed to be the black spokesman all the time. Stop letting these athletes, because they're 6'8" or whatever and can dunk a ball, or because they're stronger and can play football in that collision sport, baseball or anything else, parent your kids. Everything starts at home. You know what I'm saying? None of us was raised to hit women or none of that foolishness with Ray. But I think Stephen A. put his foot in his mouth. Like, one side he's saying, oh, men should never hit women, but they shouldn't provoke them. Now, I get what he's saying. He just should have phrased it differently.
Thank you. There you go.
Yeah, like, make a stand and stay there, one or the other. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But I get what he was saying. And you know what I'm saying? You can be provoked. Don't you dare say you can't be provoked. But, like, you know, that whole hitting women stuff is touchy, man. Like, I don't hit women. But once in a while, you may feel the need to shake fire out of them, though. You know what I mean? That's just me.
Shake fire.
No doubt, man. You know, my thing on it is this, yo. It's like, really? All right, I got you. We saw the aftermath. We didn't actually see him lay hands on her. Right?
Hold on, wait a minute.
We got my man Johan on the line. Johan, what's good, man? Welcome to the Bigger Show. What's good?
What's up, man? How's everything? How's everybody doing?
Johan,
you're
in the building again.
No doubt. I'm following you, baby.
Yeah, so we here, man. We all touch base on this situation with Ray. What I was getting ready to say, man, is that we saw the aftermath of it, man. You know what I mean? And to me, it's like I think that the ridicule and the disdain and the backlash against Ray, us knowing him personally and how he gets down, and he's not that type, I think that's bad enough. His reputation has been damaged, not irrevocably. It's gonna take a while for him to get it back. Is it going to be ever the same? No, we already realized that. But, I mean, I think that, you know, people saying that, you know, they got video footage of what happened inside the elevator or whatever. If they do, then so be it or whatever. And if they do, I think Roger Goodell's seen it. Because I think that if there was any other way that he really, you know, smacked her up or really did some real bad damage to it, not to say that he didn't, because we saw the aftermath.
Opinion, and I'm like, yo, have you seen more of the tape than I did? I seen her inebriated or whatever, and him dropping it definitely wasn't a good look.
Right, that was not a good look at all. That's the aftermath.
Oh, without question. But I
so I'm saying if, you know, whatever it is, they gave him two games, they fined him, they hit his pocket with hard body karate, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't understand what the big uproar is. And all these people that I hear talking about, well, it was too light, Roger Goodell was too light, da-da-da-da. Well, how many games should he have gotten? What would have satisfied your appetite?
He should have got at least four. That's just me.
He should have got eight.
Set the precedent. Like, make this the precedent. From now on, we're going forth after this. No more of this will be tolerated, blah, blah, blah. You do it once, four games. Next time, eight games. Next time, we're not even dealing with you. Forfeit your contract or something. I'm just saying, make a stronger precedent. Because you know, it's like mm-hmm. with the gays and anything else. These organizations are becoming more and more strong. They got more and more power, and you basically, you have to. If you're talking about your image, and your image is so important, then they should have made a stronger precedent. That's all that I'm saying.
My thing is, okay, they gave Ray two games. That's two game checks and another fine on top of that, right? So I'm not really, really worried about what they're going to do to Ray Rice and what they've done to him, because I think that, with, you know, when they dragging his name through the mud, that's suffering bad enough. I feel bad for the dude, real talk.
Oh, well, you know that's like my brother, man. You know,
I want to see what Roger Goodell is going to do to Jim Irsay. That's the punishment I want to see.
There you go.
What took you so long? Wait a minute. We had Josh Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
We had Justin Blackman.
Mm-hmm.
We had Ray Rice, okay, and you tied it up. You went through whatever the protocol you went through, and bang, 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 bang. You had Jim Irsay. It's been 5 weeks. We haven't heard nothing. Okay, with Ray. You dealt with Justin. You dealt with the other one.
Right.
What you gonna do about Jim Irsay, who got caught with $29,000 cash money, mad drugs on him, on his person?
Yeah.
In the car, he was driving under the influence.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Man,
well,
you know what it is.
My thing is, I want to see how many people go up for when Roger Goodell gives him four games. I think Jim Irsay
should get
suspended for the whole season and pay $1 million fine.
And it's not his first rodeo.
And it's not his first.
Yeah.
I'm right. So what are we dealing with here? So Roger Goodell, I think Ray Rice should thank his lucky stars, because I wouldn't have been mad if he would have got four games. I wouldn't have been mad at that. But I would have been kind of like, yo, why are you giving him half the season? Ain't going to fight him on top of that on some aftermath type stuff, because all we saw was what we saw, yo.
Yeah.
And that's my point. I'm not trying to defend Ray. No, not at all. Not in this case. But that dude is better than that. I'll defend him on that note.
Mm-hmm.
All day.
I think that's
the perspective
really
I'm coming from. He's not like that.
Listen, man, you got a million cameras around you. You couldn't have handled that no better than that. Where's
hold on, we got a call. My bad, Hollywood, man. What's good, man? Welcome to the biggest show, man. I got into myself for a minute. What's good?
I was in the sports room. I need you to keep paying me. Like, leave this chick. Like, yo, come on, man, beat it. You ain't got no girlfriends. Like, hit. Beat it. I'm just like, yo, man, Ray's a good dude and all that, but it's bigger than that right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is, man. We suffer slings and arrows, man. But it's how you come back for it, man. I got more, you know, better confidence and more belief in him than that. You know what I mean?
Oh,
but I just think that it is what it is, man. Everybody gets caught up so often. But I think that, you know, two games and the fine is, I think that's on top of the other stuff that he's dealing with, man. We're talking about him in some off-the-field stuff right now. We should be doing some previews about the Ravens and if Ray gonna come back or whatever and stop fumbling the ball and all that. You know what I mean? So I just think that, man, you know, let's do what it is, see what's going to happen with Jim Irsay, you know, and I think that will be, you know, Roger Goodell's signal to how he handles the situation. Because if it was a player that got caught in the car and all them drugs under the influence, I don't care where you are. It's a done. You would have been done by now.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Without
this
a
situation
doubt.
Would have been in the neat little package right now. So I just kind of like, you know, kind of like, you know, wish people would kind of like, you know, lay off the way and let's focus on see what's happening with this Jim Irsay situation.
Johan,
man, I want to get your opinion, man, real quick, man, on the Stephen A. scenario, man. He got suspended by, you know, he got sat down by ESPN for a week, man. I want to get your opinion. Where do you think, that was fair? You think it was justified? You think it was necessary?
Who'd you ask?
Johan.
I think that the suspension was a little ridiculous because my position on it was, if you listen to the context of what he said, because for some reason we decide now we want to pull things out of context.
Yes.
One of the first things he said before he even began his diatribe is that no man should hit a woman, talking about his sisters and his mother and the whole nine.
Right.
So this is what he said. And then he also added that he said to his sisters not to provoke a guy or do things that could put you in a situation. So everybody went ballistic because they want to pull it out of context.
Right.
But I don't think that's appropriate. Now, what I thought he did was his mistake was not clarifying his statement. I don't think he said anything wrong. I think he didn't say it clear. So when he did finally clarify and he did give an apology, that should be good enough. But we live in this world where that's what people do, and then people take part of what you said. Michelle Beadle goes ballistic.
Yes.
So now it runs and takes a life of his own. I had a friend of mine call me the other day and say, oh, I didn't hear the statement, man, but how could he say women provoke it? I say, dog, that's not what happened. He didn't say that at all.
I said at the beginning of the show, man. You know, you say stuff to people, and they, you know, their comeback is, well, what you trying to say? I'm not trying to say nothing.
I was
very clear
what I said.
From my mouth to your ear, the message gets real misconstrued.
Yes.
Either our comprehension is different, because I know I'm speaking English. I know I'm speaking English very well. So how you receive the message is not my problem.
Exactly.
But still it becomes my problem because you make a big to-do about what I said with no intention on how I meant. So now I got to apologize.
More importantly, they change your statement and then label you with the statement.
Yes, yes.
So then that becomes your statement, and then you spend your whole time trying to defend it.
Trying to backpedal from that statement
you made. Same thing happened with
Tony Dungy.
Tony Dungy said nothing about this guy's sexual orientation.
Nothing
he
at
said,
all.
It was
there
a distraction, and everybody knows that it is a distraction to some degree. And he had to come back from that. And that's
yeah. If you don't think it's a distraction, you're lying to yourself.
Yeah,
and you know what? It's like again, we talk about listening and comprehending and hearing. You know, the message that's being disseminated. Yo, how can you hear a message and say, "Well, he was coming down on him because of his sexuality"? No, that never came up. And then the word you want to hop on is distraction. You damn right is gonna be a distraction. Who wants Darryl around him all the time? You know what I mean? So, again, he never said nothing about his orientation at all. It was just basically about the game, how it was going to affect the on-the-field matters. That's all. And I don't see how you didn't get that out of what he said. So, I don't know. We're comprehending it different. We're listening to hearing it differently. I don't get it.
Yeah, the proof of that's a distraction is what happened with Tony Dungy. Just making that one statement.
Sir.
So we already know that it would be a distraction because we see how people respond to the whole thing. And that's the world we live in. If I was an athlete, I wouldn't say anything controversial at all because as soon as you step on a line, they're going to run with it, and that becomes your byline, even though you didn't say these things. And that's attached with you. And then
so that's kind of like a Michael Jordan thing where he doesn't really want to lean one way or the other?
Well, you know what I would be? I wouldn't be quotable. You know, in other words, if they ask me, what do you feel about Michael Sam? As long as he can play, I don't care.
Right. I hear you.
Things like
keep
that.
Keep it moving.
Yeah,
because as soon as you say
if you see the bridge
it
ain't got
you.
No more footing, don't cross it. Like, I don't get it. Like, there's certain topics you don't have to touch. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
because the reality, these are set-up questions. You know they're going for a story.
Yeah,
it's a set-up question so that you can say something, and then they run with it. Because we live in an era where the media makes a story. There was a time we grew up when the media told the story.
Right.
Now the media makes the story.
Uh-huh. Okay. You're right.
Because half the people didn't have a problem with what Stephen A. said. They were like, oh, okay, I understand what you're trying to say.
until Twitter blew it up, and then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, yeah, how could you say that? Like, I'm like, wow. I'm sitting there listening to the thing going, okay, I heard what he said. I don't think he said that. Where did that come from?
Right, right. So, yeah. And again, it goes back, where did that come from? Because you're listening to the same, you know, conversation and dialogue, man. You know what I mean? And your comprehension is supposed to comprehend. We're comprehending the same thing. We're looking out the same window and seeing a different picture. I don't get it. We're hearing the same conversation, but we're, you know, not really, really responding in the same way. Because I didn't get that at all. That was my first time hearing it. I was like, well, where is the controversy at? What did he say that was wrong? You know, and why was Michelle Beadle flipping?
Exactly. When he said it, I said to myself, watching the show, I said, that's on the line, and he going to have a problem. Because I knew that they would run with it that opposite way, and Michelle Beadle just blew it up. And she probably heard a snippet and then decided to make a tweet off a snippet. And you're in the business, so you should know better than make a statement off the tweet off a snippet, you know?
Ooh. That's how she's getting her 24 hours.
I wonder what Jamel
hours,
Hill felt about
thing,
it.
Though. Who is Michelle Beadle? You know more about her now than you ever did.
Ain't that the truth?
Mm. Well, I missed that part. How many days he gets suspended? I missed that.
Two, and I think a third game week, check. Right? I'm not sure. But he got suspended two games,
you know,
and I think
Stephen
they
a?
Got him for a third game check.
No, I'm not talking about Ray Rice. Ray Rice should have got eight games to me.
Stephen
I'm
A
talking
Stephen
about,
comes back next week. So he's going to miss about five shows, something like that, four or five shows.
Okay.
He got a long
time. I heard he was on vacation anyway. He's going to the Black Journalist Convention or something.
Exactly.
So I mean, so what is it about, man? I mean, I'm sorry, man. I mean, I do my thing on the radio, man. You know what I mean? And you know, this is a part of this. But come on, yo. I mean, where are we going with this, man? We was really trying to, you know, pull the skirt up on the media that much, but we saying now we see the public is seeing that we're kind of like embellishing stories instead of telling the story and telling the who, what, when, and why of the story. We're telling the whole different way perspective that nobody really saw coming, and now that's turned into the truth.
Right.
Don't say pull your skirt up.
The lie becomes the truth
if
it keeps getting spit. Man, you know what I mean?
Right.
So
that's
I don't
a good
know,
point.
Man.
Someone just said that you have a controversy about saying pull the skirt up.
Yeah, because it may be deemed homophobic. Watch your words.
Listen, man. I'm not even gonna, you know, try to, you know, I'm not gonna dignify that with a response. How about
right.
That's like sarcasm at its best. Like, I don't care.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? He's a great player. I hope he does well on the team.
Can you play? What position you play? Can you tackle? Then get out there, man. You can wear your mini skirt. I couldn't care less. Like, that's so neither here nor there for me. If you can play, play. Point blank period.
And that's the reality of sports, and we all play sports, even on a non-professional level. You can care less about what a kid is doing outside as long as we win.
I'm
going to
tell you now.
I want to stay on the court all night. That's what I want.
No,
another
example, and it goes back to this, and it's this basic with it. That dude Slate right there, that's my man. We go back. You know what I mean? But he likes the Steelers, and I like Tampa Bay. I'm not messing with Slate when it comes to football. When it comes to college basketball, straight like North Carolina, I like Syracuse. I'm not messing with him. But that's still my dude, hard body karate.
Exactly.
You know
what
I'm saying? That's as simple as that. Why do people make it so difficult, yo? You're allowed to like what you like. Just because you like something different from me, that don't mean I'm mad at you.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, why do they make it so difficult to understand? And even with the Michael Sam situation, I got no problem with him and his orientation. You'll never hear me talk about that. Okay?
People want you to like what they like.
Even though he was the defensive player of the year, so what?
People want you to like what they like.
Yeah, I'm not liking what you like. Sorry.
Exactly. If it so happens that we like something together, fine, but I'm not going to change what I like because you like it.
Exactly.
And that's what makes us who we are, man. You know what I'm saying? Your homie, you know, taking his golf selfies and all that. That's his thing.
Listen, you know every couple years. First of all, let me explain something.
Hold on. And you can't be mad at him, so that's what makes them an individual.
Let me explain something to you. I don't mean to sound racist, but Caucasian people, they either love Stephen A. Smith to death or they hate him. That's either or. And for the ones that hate him, The ones that hate him, they throw him under the bus, and this is what happened. Man has a right to freedom of speech, of course, but if it's not the way they have maybe would have written it up, then it's a big issue. This is a big issue. I mean, look what they're doing right now. Look what they're doing right now. You know Stephen A. Smith is going to Sirius Radio. Yeah, so in the paper, in the media now, it's all because Russo talked about not having a quality black host to host anything. I mean, they're going to run with this. That is not over. Something's going to come out of this, too.
Chris Russo, we talked about that a while back. Chris Russo, his statement that he made was that basically that no qualified black, he hadn't heard any, like, demo tapes. Nobody approached him. It wasn't a situation he didn't think it was any, because I heard the whole conversation. And I was tight at first when I heard it. But then I listened to it again. It wasn't like he was attacking anybody. He was just, he didn't know about it. Nobody sent no demos in. Nobody, well, I guess he knows the listeners, you know.
But here's my point.
After further review. Or season ticket.
Right.
So
here's my point.
Hold up. That's not to say that there aren't any of us out there talking sports like we're doing right now and like we do all the time. Shout out to the season ticket. You know what I'm saying? So he doesn't know about it. So now Stephen A. Smith, we know about Stephen A. Chris Russo knows Stephen A. But he don't know me. You know what I'm saying?
I have a question. Why wasn't nothing big made out of that?
We talked about it on the show, man, and it was kind of like it was out there for a minute, you know what I mean? Chris Russo had to make a statement. He was on, you know, he got on Twitter, whatever. He made his little statement or whatever, whatever. So it was an uproar, but not an uproar like this, because we all know the reason why that was.
Right. But did how many days was he suspended? That's why.
Chris Russo?
Yeah, of course.
He was suspended for 9 days.
That's his situation over there. That's the
Christopher Russo show.
But do you
that's
think
the situation? You know what I mean?
Hold on. Do you think what he said was worse than what Stephen A. said?
He didn't receive any backlash because he did. He did.
What was worse? What he said or what Stephen A. said?
I don't think any of them were bad. Either one of them was bad.
Well, I mean, if you had to just pick one, which one was worse? I would say Russo's statement.
Why? Because he was telling the truth?
No, what I'm just saying, if I had to pick one, I mean, now you're talking about a race. I mean, that's the only reason why
I
would pick
that one. But Stephen A. was talking about a gender. So what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
So why is one worse than the other?
What?
No, I get your point. You have your right to your opinion. I'm with you. I feel you on that. But I'm saying to you, I'm giving a counterpoint to your point. You're saying that one's worse than the other, when really, okay, Chris Russo made that statement, and he talks off the cuff. I give him that, because I listened to him for over 20 years. Okay, I give him that. But if you listen to what he said, all he said was he didn't know of any. It wasn't that he wasn't going to allow it, he wasn't going for it. It wasn't that. It wasn't that at all. So even with Stephen A., it was his context, and his statement got taken out of whack. So it's both the same thing. They really didn't really, you know, do any terrible damage, man.
So why is Stephen A.
how it was received. That's what we're talking about, though. How the message was received, and people turned it and flipped it and heard what they wanted to hear and took it and ran with it. That's all. You know, I can't really fault him. I'm not saying on the race tip or whatever. We already know that. That's in front of our face. We see that, though, Hollywood. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We see what it is. Because, you know, you had the brothers down there in Texas. They do their sports thing. You know what I mean? You got the season ticket doing their thing. You know what I mean? You got my man Sean Stewart doing his thing. So it's enough of us out there, but we just not out there. So, and that's just what he was saying. That's all. Because, I mean, probably people haven't heard of Chris Russo. And I mean, Chris Russo is mainstream.
Right.
But you have some people out there that probably never heard of him. And that's fine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's basically how the whole thing works. Just because you haven't heard of Chris Russo, I got to be mad at you? Or you against him? Come on, son. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. You cannot have an opinion that goes against the grain.
Right.
Because you're going to get persecuted for having an opinion that goes against the grain.
About the show, because Stephen A. Smith is on a show that's a debate show. The thing about his show is that you're supposed to give opinion, and when you give the opinion, you get punished for the opinion. Same thing happened to Rob Parker on the same show. And I thought what he said was stupid.
Rob Parker, Jason Whitlock, Tony Kornheiser. I mean, you know, you name them. They've all had their situations, you know what I mean? So again, man, you know, this is, I guess this is the Stephen A's turn to go through it. And again, I think somebody mentioned that it wouldn't have even got blown out of proportion had Michelle Beadle blew it up on Twitter.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So again, man, you know, we, you know, it takes somebody to start the fire, and if they're prominent enough, or like my man Slate said, he's totally right. They have the complexion for the protection. You know what I mean? So that, you know, they can make it happen, and here we are now discussing this.
That's right. And it's,
you know what I mean? So, I mean, Stephen A, he's very articulate. He speaks his mind. You know what I mean? Sometimes I've been fronting on him because I want to get at Stephen A. Smith, because this has been a couple of things where he's been kind of flip-floppy. And that's just my personal opinion. I think that he's, you know, he's flipped off on
the... Let me ask this question.
Go ahead.
Did he have to say anything? If he, you know, I'm just saying, did
you know
they want to
ask his opinion.
I mean, I'm just saying, but did he have to, like, say anything?
You know, that goes back to what Johan was saying about, you know, they set you up with these, because, you know, he's opinionated. So he's going to have an opinion about it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's going to be kind of like no way to escape that.
We already know about opinionated people and where it, you know, how it can come out of context and stuff can lead to. But look at the situation he's in now.
Yeah, the kid, though, again, like we were just discussing, he really didn't say nothing that was really too far fetched.
I'm not saying that. And, you know, somebody was asking me about the I think the penalty was less. I think he should have got 8 games. I'm just basing this on when her at the last footage, he dragging her out the elevator. You know, and certain things that happened, he should have got 8 games. 2 games, no, that's not doable for me. He should have got 8 games. That would have made him think about, you know, a lot of stuff.
He was thinking about it already with the public, you know, ridicule and disdain and people looking down on him and his reputation being damaged.
He already knew. And then making so bad, and I look at his apology letter, he already knew. When he knew, once that security came up here, this is going to get out to the NFL, this is going to be on the media, he already knew. This is something he got to face. He already knew the consequences was coming. He already knows. He got to play 16 games with this. Well, 14 games, knowing he's going to walk into stadiums where people going to be, you know, come on.
I just think it's very interesting now that even on opinion shows, you give an opinion and then you get penalized for the opinion that you give on the show.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And outside of saying something, because I think it's one thing to say something that's flat out stupid, racist, sexist. I think it's another thing to kind of misquote yourself or misspeak.
Right.
And I didn't take what he said, because clearly if you take it in context,
right,
there's no way
thank
that
you.
This is a problem. Because out of context, yeah. And then
you can take it any way you want, out of context. You're right.
Exactly. I mean, you have people that say, like, how could he say that women provoke men? I'm like, that didn't happen. But that's what happens when they take a life of his own. And it's
yeah.
how BS this whole
thing. Trying to say. That's what kills me. I'd be like, what?
He did the next show, and then he did another show with an apology before they finally decided, okay, yeah, now we can take him off. Because it wasn't that big an issue to them.
No, it wasn't.
It was like they heard the context of what was said. Kerry Champions didn't go off either because she heard the context of what she said. Oh, she would have defended because she speaks her mind. She would have said something. She would have asked a question about it.
I think you're right, too, because, man, listen, you know, I really didn't, you know, get any, you know, kind of feedback from, like, a Jemele Hill. I would have been interested to, you know, find out how she felt about it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that, you know, Michelle Beadle was wrong for expressing herself and feeling how she felt about it, but I think that she kind of took it out of context. Can I say that? She kind of took it out of context. Because I don't see Jemele Hill up in arms or Kerry Champion or Pam Oliver, you know what I'm saying? Or anybody else making statements
exactly.
like that against him.
And she's wrong because she's in the business. She knows better than anybody else about context. So why would you take something, then tweet about it totally out of context? That's crazy.
Even if Jemele Hill or one of them would have came out and said something, it wouldn't have been a big clamor. Because they don't have the reflection for the connection.
No,
the
but
fact
see,
that a white
though.
Woman
I,
came
I
out and
he,
had a problem I, with it and took it to Twitter, that's when it just was like a mega bomb drop. If they would have did it, it might have picked up speed later, but it wouldn't have been the clamor it was right away like when that deal did it.
But listen, hold on. Can I say something?
Johan, go ahead.
I typically would agree, but women are, as a political group, different. You can't say things about women and have that fly. So if a sister would have said something, it would have blew up.
Yeah.
Because that's about women versus men.
Because that is like Stephen Smith is talking to you.
That's right.
And you're in the, and you're getting it in the same context. And you're feeling some kind of way. And he's striking a nerve. Of course you're going to strike back. But if he's saying it in a context that it's really okay, I'm not saying you're condoning it, but just, it's not really affecting you like that.
Yeah, I don't get this though. He says women should make sure they don't do anything to provoke an attack. I mean, like I'm still sitting here like wondering like what was horrible about that?
Because you know what they did? People, this is what people do when you say things. He makes that statement.
Dang.
They make a second statement, and then they want you to defend the second statement. And the second statement is, so you're saying that we provoke it? That's why it happened? Well, What you're trying to say.
Listen.
And now you find yourself dealing with that second statement, which is not your statement.
Right. So what happened? But listen, hold on. Seriously, though, for real. Just take it, what happens if the President of the United States makes a statement about that about a country? It's two different things, but to me it's the same thing if you really break it down. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you want a country, like, you know, you shouldn't do anything to provoke an attack. If we come to attack you, then, you know, if we're not going to attack you if you're not doing anything for us to attack you with, attack you about. But if you're doing something to us, I'm just giving you the heads up. You shouldn't do anything for us to attack you. Am I right or wrong?
See, here's the issue. He didn't
say
anything.
You wrong.
What'd you say?
I don't know what you are. And I'm sorry. That's funny.
No, I'm serious. if we're warning... Well, not
but
warning,
see, but
this,
you
is
know,
not even, this is not even issuing a warning, to
but
be honest
you
with you.
But when you say it that way, brother, that's more about that's the issue they have. Because when you just use that example you said, you basically blame the other country for us busting your ass. And that's what they're trying to say Stephen A. Smith was saying.
So now, listen.
And he wasn't going there. He didn't go there at all.
But when I hear, here's my next question. I mean, I might be crossing a line. Excuse me. But if a woman get in your face and starts smacking you up, what are you going to do?
Oh, you're supposed to be the bigger man and turn around and walk away.
If a man gets in your face and do that, then what you going to do?
You're going to defend yourself.
You're going to do
it. But you're supposed to be the bigger man. You're supposed to be the bigger man and walk away the
mm-hmm.
same way.
Yeah, in theory.
And that's what I call the politics of it. That's what I call the politics.
There's no difference, though. There's no difference.
It's about politics.
It's not supposed to be, but you know it's a double standard. Like, women want their cake and eat it, too. Let's be real about it.
Yeah, that's true, bro.
I don't care.
And you know what? Can I start this analogy there right quick?
You want it to be equal in every way.
After Love was giving it to Jay-Z in the elevator.
With money and jobs.
Then when the elevator door opened, Ray Rice is dragging his girl out the elevator. So, I mean, how do you want it? We all saw Jay not do nothing. He just was like, you know, Solange was going at him, whatever. And Jay was like, you know, but if he would have even just attempted act like he wanted to hit her, it would have been a whole different story.
But is
he
that?
But
now, hold on,
man. Inside
hold
the
man.
Elevator
with Ray Rice. Hold on, man. I got to ask you a question. Now, is that considered, hold on a second. Is that considered provoking an attack? Her in the elevator hitting up on Jay. Is that considered provoking an attack?
Most certainly.
I don't know. All I know is that,
yes,
you know,
it was perceived in some circles as Jay did the
animal thing and the righteous thing. Some people was like, he should have, you know, shook her up or whatever. I don't, you know, it is what it is, man. I mean,
but
how do you
realize what he would look?
You have a right to defend yourself.
How come she's not going to jail for assault?
Exactly. Now, okay, hold on. It gets worse than that, bro. Suppose she had a knife and was trying to cut him up. Then what?
Oh, she didn't have a knife, man. I don't live on Fantasy Island.
No, she didn't have a knife.
We all saw what happened, but still, you know, the bottom line is nothing happened. We talked about it, laughed about it, made jokes about it, blah, 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 but no criminal charges was made. We see the aftermath.
Same thing with Ray.
Mm-hmm.
With Ray, you know, had his girl in that position, whatever, and he's getting two games, which shouldn't have been enough, and he's getting fined. He should have got this, and domestic violence, and Stephen A., da-da-da-da. I'm not understanding. Somebody acknowledge me, man, because I don't get it.
It's contradictory.
It's contradictory.
Absolutely contradictory, yo. You can't explain that
to me. If Jay was doing that to her, he would be arrested and everything else, and that's only because he has something hanging from between his legs. The only reason. You can go off like that and, oh, you just dismiss it. It's the manly thing to do because he was in the corner and didn't hit her back. But if that was the other way around and Jay attacked her like that, he would be locked up quicker than you could say, Jay-Z. That's a messed up double standard, but that's how it is.
It becomes not only about the double standard, but the politics of it all and the money that's involved. People don't want to look like they're saying or they're siding with something that's negative. Even if that's
not what it really is about, bro.
They just don't even want to look like they're associated with it.
You know what it is?
People have been running with it.
Hold on, let him finish his thought. Go ahead.
They don't want women protesting their stations. They don't want women protesting outside their football games and the like, because it affects their bottom line, and they want to look good, so then they do these things that are really political in nature, because if you really had a problem with what Stephen A. Smith said, truth be told, he would have been suspended that day.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have taken two days, 3 days, a weekend, apology. Like, he would have been suspended right away.
Well, let me tell you something.
They didn't see a problem with it until they realized it was going to be a problem. So what they're doing is a way of cutting this off at the pass. That's all.
Bro, you know what it is? Let me tell you how I look at it for real, and it's the real bottom line for me with this one. They want sports people to only sit there and talk about sports-related things. They do not have a right to have an opinion outside of sports. That's what it's all about. And if it's not something that the public all agrees on, then they're going to make a big problem out of it. Sports people need to talk about sports, and that's what they're paying these dollars to do. You can't just sit there and talk about sports. You can't just keep talking about
sports. To your point, Hollywood, man, I think that was a good point that you made, man. You know what I mean? I think Johan talked about it earlier where they kind of like, I don't want to say embellish, but they gear the story to titillate and excite so you can stay, you know, you can stay tuned. You know what I mean? Because another thing that bugs me out is these little tease things that they have. They blow the story up like it's going to be real illmatic. Then you hang around and you watch it with some garbage, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So,
mm-hmm.
Again, the media tilts the story,
yep.
You know what I mean, to have your eyebrows raised, to get us talking on a radio show like we're doing right now, you know what I mean? So, again,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that the story did not contribute to it, but, again, like Johan said, the media is going to take it and run with it. They're not going to run in a straight line. They're going to zig,
right.
Zag, go out of bounds, come back in bounds, you know what I mean? So, again, man, it's what we're dealing with. So why can't we speak truth to power?
Because we don't get paid. We don't get paid to speak truth
Stephen
to power.
Stephen A. gets paid and he couldn't speak
but
truth
you,
to power.
So
well,
that's what I'm saying.
You know why we can't speak
that's
to
what
power.
I'm saying. We can't do
you
that.
We
can't listen, this
power.
Let me tell you something, and I ain't getting into the politics about it, but for a country that has the right to freedom of speech, we sure enough don't have a right to freedom of speech.
No,
I'm being honest with you.
We know that already. We know that already. Yes, Slick, what was you going to say, man?
Well, you know what? I was going to say that we don't have the right to truth and
speech
power.
Oh, we don't.
We
don't.
We really don't. That's
we don't.
Because once you, everybody that exercises that right gets in trouble. If you think about this, historically, as soon as you exercise that right, you get in trouble. It's
you're done for.
Facade. Yeah, it's all a facade. And when you buy into it and you think, it's just like when we say that, you come in this country and you have the right to do anything. No, you don't have the right to do anything. There's a lot of shit you can't do. As soon as you try to exercise those rights, I'm sorry, my bad. As soon as you exercise those rights, you start talking, you're like my family, so we get real. You start exercising those rights, you find yourself in trouble. And that's what these guys are experiencing now. They get on TV, they think they can say something. They're making opinions. They're not even making wild statements. And getting in trouble, and that's just ridiculous. But you got to understand.
But the how, by the way, it gets to your ear and it gets disseminated. You think they made the craziest statement that was ever uttered out of a sportscaster's mouth. You know what I mean? I get the point where Hollywood says, you know, stick to the sports or whatever. But, again, a lot of people, I'm not interested in who won the game or who's playing in the game. I'm interested in how they're living off the field.
That's
and,
right.
And what are they, how many
mm-hmm.
cars they got and what nightclub they're going to be hosting a party at or whatever.
Yep.
So, you know, again, man, they give them something else to talk about. But
hey,
we're near the end of the show,
man.
Man.
I got one,
we got a few
man.
Minutes. Man, I just want to shout out everybody, man, and
I
do how I do, man. We go
around
the horn real quick, man. Everybody speak their last words. Kia, what you got to say before we get out of here?
I'm just glad football is upon us now. And, yes, I'm not saying I'm biased. I do think he should have got 8 games. I think it's his turn. He should have been
stiffer than what he got. I don't agree about Stephen A. Smith getting suspended, but sometimes, I guess you could say, I won't use a time and a place for everything, but sometimes you have to, I guess, word your words correctly. I want to say that, if I can say that way. But it is what it is. But no, Ray Rice should have got 8 games. He should have been half a season.
All right, that's what it is. Ray, what's good, man? You got anything to say before we get out of here?
I just want my dude Ray to be all right. Keep your head up. You know, do you. Stay out of trouble. And, you know, get your image back, Playboy. I already know what time it is. You're not built like that. So, you know, do what you got to do, man, to redeem yourself and just fall back. That's all. Because whatever you do or say is going to be misconstrued. We all got opinions, and it's all about assumptions and speculation.
That's what it is. Hollywood, real quick, man, because I want to do something before we get out of here. What you got to say, man?
Well, I'm just sitting here puzzled about the whole Stephen A. Smith situation, and I'm just wondering if someone from our local news would have made those comments, would they have taken it and took it the same way as they did with Stephen A. Smith, being that he's just a sportscaster, well, supposed to be a sports guy. I'm just wondering if, you know, they would have been suspended for making those comments.
Hmm. I don't know, man. I, you know, everybody tries to play it so close to the vets, man. You know what I'm saying? But, again, you know, it's a situation where they probably behind closed doors, you know, talking over there, you know, whatever, discussing it, talking like us. But when they get when that red light comes on, everybody turns into a Cinderella. You know what I mean? So, what it is, no pun intended. But that's what it is. Johan, man, any last words before we get out of here for the week, my dude?
Yes. Great talking sports, as usual. We touched on all the topics, a lot of different opinions, and it's good stuff. I appreciate that. Love what you do, man. Keep doing your thing like you're doing it for TP.
That's what it is, man. Salute. Before we get out of here, man, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the football season. I've been, you know, salivating and waiting for football season and all that, man. It's Hall of Fame game on Monday night. We're going to do our first picks of the season, man. So it's going to be one game. You know what it is. Hall of Fame game, Buffalo Bills against the New York Giants, Monday night in Canton, Ohio. Kia, who you got? All right, Kia went to go fill up the bubblegum machine. Slate, who you got? Bills and the Giants.
The Giants.
Slate, so you got the Giants?
Yeah.
All right, that's what it is. Hollywood, who you got?
G-Money.
All right, Hollywood got the Giants. Johan, who you got, my dude?
It's the Gents, baby. Big Blue all day.
All day. I got you, my G. Kia, who you got? You're still filling up the bubblegum machine.
The bubblegum machine.
Right,
I like that.
So she's going to have to get an absentee pick. I probably have to get it from her later on. Bills and the Giants. I want to see Sammy Watkins. He might get in for a few plays or whatever. Hope Eli doesn't throw any interceptions. You know, you want to see all the people that's trying to make the team, man. So you're not really going to see a lot of the superstar players. So if I got a big pick, flip a coin, I'm going to say Bills 27, Giants 21. That's going to be my pick right there for the first game of the season. That's how we do it, man. So we get off to a fast start. We get a head start on all these other cats, man, trying to make picks or whatever. We're going to see what your steeds look like, follow you through the preseason. I want to thank everybody that called, man. Kids in the building, my man Slate, all day, all the time. Hollywood joined us. My man Johan, touch base with us. Thank you. I appreciate you for listening, man. Every Tuesday night we get down. Shout out to my man Sonny Cruz. I do the show, the Pauly Sonny Cruz show, every Monday night, 7 to 9. We rock out hard body. Shout out to my man Dev and them over at War Room Sports, man. They get down hard body. Shout out to the Wacko Network, man. Shout out to the season ticket, man. I heard you over there. The lady gave a nice eloquent speech, man, on her letter to Roger Goodell in the NFL, man. So keep rocking out over there. I'm in the building with y'all. You know what it is. So, yeah, man. So if I can leave you with any last words before we get out of here for another week, man, it's watch what you say.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because you may be having to defend yourself. And if you don't stand by what you stand by, then you got to stand by something else, and then we know what you made out of. This is the mayor, man, GQ Palace Radio, a.k.a. GQ Palace Sports, after further review, a.k.a. the biggest show. Holler at your boy, man. Every day I'm on Facebook, man, putting it down after further review. Know what it is. Shout out to Star Buck Wild, man. That's my dude, man. I'm going to see you. I got you. All right, this is the mayor. I'm out of here signing off. Miss Lavina, take care. Big Rich, I see you, my dude. Next week, man, we're going to do it again. Second year anniversary coming up. My birthday coming up. You know what it is. Hang around. Let's have some fun. Let's bug out. Let's talk sports like we talk sports. This is the man. I'll see y'all next week.
One.
Coming to scorch. Coming to scorch ya, it feels like torture. Yes, I'm a free agent looking at all the offers. Crossover jump shot like Kimbo Walk. I wrote the book on this madness, so call me an author. You ain't coming to play hard, quit your day job. You let New York down like your name is J.R. Smith and Weston keep playing aggressive. Every shot that you take, hands up is contested. Everybody's a guard, play D like Imar. Yeah, I'm winning this game, care less about odds. These clowns ain't worthy. They plays is dirty, I'm giving them 30, so retire my jersey. MJ in his prime, at the gym on my grind. 1,000 jump shots, I'm just taking my time. It means I caught fire, so I call it a sign. They say it's a two-pointer cause my foot on the line. In the clutch, they folding, we picking and rolling. Yes, I'm Steph Curry with this ratchet I'm holding. You gotta be joking, believing I'm open. Carry the offense and I shoot it like Copeland. Call it a quick now, Stephen A. Smith now. Anything between that is probably a sit down. Whether home or the road, I demand the control. Just playing the game, doing what I was told. Shorts under the pants, got the heart of a champ. For my brother Black Magic, they should give him a chance. Ballers is average, maniac is a savage. Didn't even box out, cause they letting them grab it. Everything is drastic, he ain't trying to pass it. A lot of one-on-one at that Watson Classic. Ladies showing off all the latest fashion. D.O. call the games and he do it with passion. Ever for president, he's part of my residence. Left-handed crossover's part of the evidence. Can't forget Nike Pro, my dude's indictment for my Oyez. Who love the excitement, everything is a swisher. Dealing with Corey Fisher, he had 105. That's just a militia. Reggie Freeman, Master Raw, Pop who died, they all play with pride talking, they doubt me. Balling without me, put it all on the line. Like Louis McCrowski, they say it was average. Andre Barrett, every time that I saw him, he was letting them have it. R.P. Ali Moe, cross over then go. The fans is always hype and they loving the show. Can't forget Kenny Stack, I'll be right back. Crazy to see them starting with my boy A. Martin.